Tonight's lesson is 15 periods of Bible history. It can be easy to get confused about the chronology of Bible events. For instance, did Nehemiah live before Job? Did Isaiah live before or after the Babylonian captivity? How many years elapsed between the prophecies of Malachi and the coming of John the Baptist? Well, these questions can be more easily answered by breaking up Bible history into 15 periods. Why 15? It seems to work out. A lot of other schemes have been used, 10 periods, 12 periods, 18 periods, but 15 periods seems to fit very, very well. This isn't original by me. Matter of fact, I tried to find out who originally put this into 15 periods, and nobody seems to know. It's one of those mysteries that started so long ago that it was before anyone actually recorded who had done it. I did add a little bit to it that hopefully will help us understand God's plan of redemption and how He worked it out, beginning all the way back in Genesis and going through Revelation. And your response being, you mean we're going to cover 66 books of the Bible tonight? Well, why not? Why not? The first period, certainly one of the most obvious, is called the Antediluvian period, meaning simply the period before the flood. This time period would be from the creation of the world all the way to the flood. The scriptures that would include the Antediluvian period would be Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, all the way to Genesis chapter 8, verse 12. Genesis chapter 8, verse 12. This time period is somewhere around 1,650 years. And when I give time periods tonight, obviously there is nothing very exact about them, but certainly close to that time period. So here we have a time period. It's only a little over seven and a half chapters in the Bible, but yet 1,650 years of earth history takes place during that time period. But we have very little in the Bible that's recorded about it. A few events here and some people's names and some things that happen, but that's it. During that time period, of course, we have a vast population on earth that started with Adam and Eve and spread through their children to where there were just countless numbers of people on the planet. And as Genesis 6 tells us, their thoughts were only evil continually, and so therefore God sent the flood. The second period is the period right after the flood, often called the post-diluvian period. This would be the period from the flood to the call of Abram. From the flood to the call of Abram. The scripture, Genesis chapter 8, verse 13, to Genesis chapter 11, verse 26. And of course, the call of Abram, certainly one of the most significant events in the Old Testament. His call to leave his homeland and go to a new land was of tremendous significance. Even to us today, that call is important. And of course, his name would be later changed to Abraham, by which he's known by most people today. A patriarch of great significance and great renown. That time period is somewhere around 420 years. So from the creation of the world to the call of Abram to leave his home and go to a new country is a little over 2,000 years. A little over 2,000 years. And so 2,000 years of our history takes place in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. 2,000 years. The third period is often called the patriarchal period. The patriarchal period. This would be from the time that Abram was called to leave his land to go to a new one to the descent into Egypt. In Genesis chapter 46, we have these words. Genesis chapter 46 and verse 7. This would be where the patriarchal period ended. Genesis chapter 46 and verse 7. In talking about Jacob's journey to Egypt, verse 7 says, "His sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt." So that period from Genesis 11 to Genesis 46 is about 215 years. And during that 215-year period, we have three men of tremendous significance: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Grandfather, father, son, however you want to look at it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the things that happened during that 215 years have great significance to God's plan of redemption. God is unfolding his plan to save mankind. And of course, that plan that we know started before the foundation of the world. But he is using individuals, he's using groups of people, he's using events so that everything will be in place for Christ to come into the world. The right time, the right place, the right everything. And it's God working to bring this about. And how he brings that about is probably the most fascinating narrative story that you could ever read. To see him working. So that 215-year period, the patriarchal period, about 215 years. Patriarchal, of course, a patriarch is someone who's the head of the family. And those three men, again, were of tremendous significance. We go to the fourth period. This is the time that's often called the Egyptian period. This is the period when these people, and they're not called Israel yet. The nation of Israel does not exist at this point. But these descendants go into Egypt and stay there. So this period would be from the time they go into Egypt to when they leave and cross the Red Sea. So from the time they enter Egypt, Abraham's descendants, they spend about 210 years in Egypt. And we know that account very well from the end of Genesis all the way to Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, we have these words in verse 31. Exodus 14 and verse 31. "Then Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." The verse prior to that, "So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore." That's when we might say the nation of Israel was born. Was when God's people, who had been in captivity for over 200 years in Egypt, left. That's when they became a nation. That's really when they became the nation of Israel. They left as a group and, of course, crossed the Red Sea by God's miraculous intervention where he killed the Egyptians. And again, that was about 210 years while they were in Egypt. The fifth period is the wilderness wandering period. God's people cross the Red Sea and begin to go toward the Promised Land. The Promised Land wasn't very far away. It wasn't very far away at all. They could have easily made it in a few weeks. It wasn't very far, even walking. It wasn't very far. But we know that not very far distance ended up being a period of about 40 years. So instead of taking a few months, it ended up taking 40 years. All because they didn't believe and trust God. So that whole generation, with the exception of two, were not allowed to enter the Promised Land. The scripture would be from Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 to Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 17, we have these words. Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. Then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground, the crossing of the Jordan, on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. The period of wilderness wandering was over. Here was another miraculous divine intervention by God. Parted the Jordan River so God's people could enter into the promised land. And again, that was about a 40-year period that we have from Exodus 15 to Joshua chapter 3. Then we have the period in which they're in the promised land conquering the other nations, often called the conquest period, the period of conquest. So this started when the Jordan was crossed, and it went to the appointment of Othniel, the first judge. So God's people, the nation of Israel, crossed the Jordan on dry ground, enter the promised land, and so until Othniel, the first judge, is appointed, that is the period of conquest. That goes from Joshua chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to Judges chapter 3, verse 9. When we go to Judges chapter 3, we see verse 9. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And there we have the period of the judges. So this was about a 20-year period. The period of conquest is about 20 years, but the actual conquest itself seems to have taken about 7 years. So of that 20 years, it seems like the actual conquest was about 7 of those, about a third of that period. So when we read these parts in Scripture, it's really important to know what kind of time period we're talking about. How long did this take? Why did it take this period of time? It helps us to understand what is going on. Then, the seventh period is the period of the judges. Othniel, the first judge, is appointed. And that would go all the way until the first king is appointed, King Saul. The scriptures would go from Judges chapter 3, verse 10, all the way to 1 Samuel chapter 10. And it's 1 Samuel chapter 10 where we have Saul being appointed the first king. That's about 335 years. That's a long time period. From Judges chapter 3 to 1 Samuel chapter 10. I think that was 1 Samuel 10. Yes. 335 years. That's a long period of time in which judges essentially ruled over God's people. They were the deliverers. And we know the cycles that God's people went through during that time period. They would be faithful for a while, then they would become unfaithful, and then some group of people would come in and basically try and attack them and try and take them away. God would send a deliverer, a judge. The judge would overcome whoever the enemy was, and then God's people would be faithful again. And then the cycle would repeat, and God would have to send another judge. Then that cycle will repeat and God will have to send another judge. And that happened for about 335 years until Saul is appointed. Then we have the period that's often called a period of peace, even though it wasn't entirely a period of peace, the United Kingdom. This was the time from the appointment of Saul until the kingdom was divided under Jeroboam. There's a lot of the Old Testament included in this time period. 1 Samuel chapter 11, all the way through 1 Kings chapter 11. Also, 1 Chronicles chapter 1 to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. So when we read parts of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, we need to understand that a lot of that is taking place at the same time. In other words, 2 Samuel doesn't necessarily take place before 2 Chronicles. It doesn't. So a lot of those things are parallel accounts. A lot of those things are parallel accounts. So we have those three kings. We have Saul, David, Solomon. Each of those reigned for about 40 years, so that entire time period is about 120 years. We have a lot of information in the Bible about that time period of 120 years. Also, and of great significance, other books in the Bible that would be placed in this time period would be Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So when we're studying those books, we need to make sure we put them in the time period of Saul, David, and Solomon. Because that's when they were written, or that's when they apply. Then the kingdom is divided, the ninth period. This would be from when the kingdom is divided under Jeroboam into Judah in the south and Israel in the north, to the fall of the northern kingdom, which is Samaria, the capital of Israel. A lot of the Old Testament books are during this time period. 1 Kings 12 through 2 Kings 17, 2 Chronicles 10 through 2 Chronicles 28. A lot of time is found in those books, about 250 years. So the period that we call the divided kingdom, when there was both a southern kingdom of Judah, northern kingdom of Israel, was about 250 years. Also during this time period, several Old Testament books take place. Isaiah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, and Micah. All of those books of prophecy would take place or have to do with the period of the divided kingdom, when there was a northern and southern kingdom. And then the northern kingdom is taken into captivity, and there is no more northern kingdom. It is gone, and essentially gone forever. So there's only Judah left. So the next period is called Judah alone. This would be from the fall of Israel to the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Scriptures, 2 Kings 18 through 25, 2 Chronicles 29 through 36. This is about 135 years that take place during when there was just a Judah by itself. This includes Jeremiah, Obadiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. So those books, when you read them, need to be read in the context of the time when there was just a Judah. There's no more northern kingdom of Israel. They are gone. They've been taken into captivity. They're not there anymore. And it makes a difference when you read those books that you know that's already happened. Otherwise, a lot of confusion can take place. There were four good kings. Of course, we know that there were no good kings of the northern kingdom at all. Not a single good one in the group. But in the southern kingdom of Judah, there were four good ones, relatively speaking. Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah. All four good kings of Judah. Then the period of captivity. When Judah is taken into captivity, 11th period. This would be from the fall of Judah to the return home by the decree of Cyrus. They're taken into captivity, and then eventually Cyrus, the king of Persia, allows them to come back. Allows them to come back. Doesn't force them to come back, because a whole bunch of them don't, but allows them to come back. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 36 through Ezra chapter 1 verse 4. And if you look in your Bible, that's not a lot of material. That's about 50 years, though. It's about a 50-year time period. This would be when Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel occur or take place. And so when we read those three books, it's very, very important we understand that those refer to the time when God's people were in captivity. Because those books don't make a lot of sense if you don't know that. And that's why knowing these time periods are so important. Then the period of restoration is number 12. This would be when the first wave of people who return to Jerusalem takes place until Nehemiah's restoration and the end of the Old Testament canon. The end of the Old Testament. That time period is about 100 years, approximately. So the people start coming back, and then until Malachi finishes his, is about 100 years. So that would go from, historically, from Ezra chapter 1, verse 5, to Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 31. The books of Esther, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi take place during that period of restoration. And again, not knowing that can bring a lot of confusion to Bible study. Then, the 13th, the period of prophetic silence. This is the time period from when the Old Testament canon is finished, the end of Malachi, to when the angel of the Lord appears to Zacharias, foretelling the birth of John. Now this time period, obviously there is nothing in the Bible between Malachi and Matthew. But Daniel prophesies about this time period in Daniel's chapters 2, 7, 8, and 11. He prophesies about that time period. So there's about 430 years from the end of Malachi to the beginning of the New Testament. So imagine, that's a long time for there not to be any word from God. It's a period of silence. Then, of course, we have, during that time period, that's when the Sadducees and Pharisees came into being. There were no Sadducees and Pharisees before that time. They developed during that period of silence. 14th is the coming of the Messiah. This would be the time from the angel appearing to Zacharias to the establishment of the church on the day of Pentecost. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts chapter 1. And that's somewhere about 35 years, approximately. And then the 15th, and the last, of course, the last that there will ever be, is the church period. This would be from the establishment of the church to Christ's return. From Acts chapter 2, verse 1, to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. And of course, the time period's not known because we don't know when he's coming back. We are in the church period. We're waiting for the return of Christ, and we don't know when that event's going to transpire. From our vantage point, we can look back all the way to creation, and we can see from the beginning of Genesis how God has made plans. And some of those plans were just intricate details to make sure that everything happened just exactly like he knew it would. His plan. Sometimes we call that the plan of redemption. And of course he did that for all of us. But the most important thing now for us is to make sure we are prepared for that great event. Since we have no idea when that's going to happen, since we have no clues in the scriptures about when this is going to happen. We have no signs to watch for. That means he's going to come as a thief. We don't know when he's coming, so we have to be prepared at all times, morning, noon, and night. And so the question for all of us always is, are we prepared? Have we given our lives to Christ? Have we experienced the new birth? Have we had our sins washed away? Are we living faithful lives? Those are the questions we need to answer to see if we are truly prepared for his return. And tonight, if you're not prepared for that, and you know you need to be, then we encourage you and urge you to make the right decision and come to Him tonight. Let us stand and sing this song.